you know, don't take yourself too seriously because no one else is. And I'm like, shoot.
Let's try it out. Timeout. Tyler, who are we taking a timeout with today?
Hey, Kevin, today's a little knuckleball screwball, man. We've interviewed over 100 CEOs, presidents in the upstate New York area all the way down to Arkansas, Texas. And today we're taking a timeout with us, man, to let the audience know a little bit more about, I guess, Kevin and Tyler, who we are. And I, you know, what we've learned from these leaders, what commonalities we see between, I don't know, most every one of them, and kind of how it plays into our life a little bit. And what's next for us, man? How's that sound?
I think I'm really excited. You know, I think it's been that passion project. It's an opportunity to reflect, like you and I are continuously harp on, and hear some of the leaders talk about. But honestly, I think when you and I started having conversations about what have we actually learned, it's kind of some lessons. And I had a great experience last night. We got together with my friend's book club that you are also reading the book, but you weren't there last night for the first because I had no idea it was actually coming. But they needed 90 pages read, so I was feverishly reading to catch up. But what was interesting is somebody that isn't as well versed in what we do, right? Networking or the business world. One of their takeaways was just the power of networking and the ability to connect with individuals. Maybe those mentors that they never had a conversation with, but look up to. And the CEO kind of talks about how he takes calls, right? And if somebody's really interested in what he's doing or what their organization's doing, my friend was kind of shocked that that's kind of how this new world lives. And I thought, well, Tyler and I thought that same thing before we started this show. What CEOs would even be interested in this crazy project? And then I think we quickly learned that they genuinely want to help and share. And I just thought that was kind of fascinating to start with, because it's just a lesson that we learned by happenstance, by forcing ourselves outside our comfort zone to really chase something different.
Yeah, you know, I think different's good. And man, 90 pages in a day, man, that'll hurt my brain, dude. Good job on that catch up, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing something different, I think, for me, it makes me better at what I'm doing on the day-to-day, right? Like, it's I think if you're doing the same thing every day without something extra in the back of your day-to-day, I mean, everything gets a little mundane for me. And when people ask me, you know, if you're writing a book, if you're doing this, something new, my what I've learned from these leaders, I guess we've talked to, and just kind of trial and error, is to say, we'll just take a book, for instance, right? I would say to myself, write the worst chapter of all time. You know, at least you're writing something.
Yeah,
is kind of, and that's kind of how we started this podcast, man. It was me and you on a blurry screen, sitting next to each other, trying to like share the screen, and it was the worst podcast ever.
Yeah.
But that's my point. It's doing something bad is actually a great thing. I mean, you know, they say the only way it's up from bad, whatever.
Yeah,
but that's the only way to start, I think. You know, and people think they want to. How boring would it be to come in and really knock something out of the park on day one?
Yeah.
And it's like, what's next? You know, there's not much of a growing bandwidth there for me. So I think what I've learned from the vulnerable CEOs that really tell us what's behind the curtain is, you know, they don't know everything. It's okay not to know everything. It's kind of fun not knowing everything. You know, I hear some awesome podcasters sometimes. So we'll stop this mega genius in front of them and say, what does that word mean? They'll just nod their head, acting like they know these, you know, 9-syllable words, you know. But yeah, that's I guess my take on what we've learned so far.
Yeah, and I would say, yeah, I that was forcing us outside of our comfort zone. And I know that was something that you and I, not even knowing each other really at that point in time, once we got the yeses, it was kind of like, okay, now we got to figure it out. And yeah, you tap into who you know, right? We tapped into some friends that were already doing podcasting, even though we had a different perspective as to how we wanted to do it. But I think that's that real growth opportunity, like you said, and it's the opportunity to find more about maybe what your strengths are or what you actually want to do. I've learned a lot through conversations with the CEOs and just conversations with everyday people, that everybody kind of has that one lesson that you can learn from them. Maybe it's a question that you've only asked yourself and would never share with somebody else. But a lot of that, I think, is only coming from our genuine place of curiosity, right? And our willingness to be vulnerable with others, and then starting to learn. And I thought it was surprising just how much of a superpower that was showing up to be. You and I had talked about listening and why we felt like we were better prepared than most, based off of our professional careers, right? Listening ultimately has led to more solutions than challenges. And I think that was one of the key takeaways. I know I shared with you too, that I was one of those individuals kind of reading the soft rules of the office, right? The accepted behaviors and the not accepted behaviors. And what I saw early on in my career was you kind of stayed away from the CEO and the CFO and the COO, right? They were on this different pedestal. They knew more than you, right? And you really had limited value or limited insights that you could provide that they would find value in. And that couldn't be further from the truth, right? I think what I've learned from all the interviews is they have the same interests in food. They have similar interests in music, right? They're people at the end of the day. And I think the second that you and I stopped putting them on that pedestal and actually saw ourselves as peers is really where we started to get into deeper and better conversations, frankly. But I think I had to get over that unease, I think, or that negative self-talk or imposter syndrome, that I could possibly ask whatever question you and I wanted to somebody, as long as we created that element of trust and that safe environment and they felt comfortable sharing it.
Yeah, likewise, brother. Like, I didn't think talking to a CEO to me was like almost a no-no, right? You're looking for like that director of IT or whatever the heck line of business you're in.
Yeah.
And that's good and everything, whatever. But I remember like cold calling every now and then. I'd cold call the CEO for fun and they'd answer. I don't even know what the frick to say. Besides, how the hell are you doing? Why are you calling me about this? I'm like, you're on the show, man, or Lane. I don't know. It's definitely eye opening, and just knowing that they're normal people. We're all normal people, right? From the floor workers to the CEO. I think everyone's just trying to have some purpose in life. Wake up with knowing what you're going to do and being excited about it. And I think once people start seeing that you're excited about something, they want to learn more about you. Now, no matter what you're really doing, you can pick up whatever, raking your yard. But if you're the most badass yard raker on your block, man, and you have a purpose, that strikes curiosity, I think. And whatever.
I think that goes back to the first networking meeting that you and I met. It was like 7:30, 7:45 in the morning, and your positive attitude, your outlook on life. I mean, just that in and of itself, to your point, intrigued me. Right? It was something that I think we almost get into the routine, right? And people are going through the motions and they're not really engaged in the conversation or even loving what they're doing, and they're more forcing it. But here you were, business development, and I was like, who the heck is this guy that is just has this outlook, right? That he is totally comfortable in his own skin. He'll say whatever's on his mind. He'll be vulnerable and admit what he doesn't know. And I was drawn to that. And then I couldn't have been happier when I was like, hey, dude, I don't know you like a ham sandwich yet, but I think this would be really fun to do this project together. And I couldn't be happier that I did, because I grew 10 times of where I would have been 4 years ago, 3 years ago, call it.
Smoked, but, right?
Yeah, three, I think. Yeah, they all start blending together. Maybe we're all going to year four now.
Yeah, and I think, what I've grown so much, and it helps us grow, I think, from week to week when we're really on that 52 people a year type, once a week mentality, because you're meeting someone that's been there, done that, failed more than me. And after every conversation we've had with people, I tend to really get after it after talking to somebody, And it's one of those things, it's like going to the gym to me. It's like my day's so packed, and I'm like, oh crap, we have another podcast. But afterwards, you feel so good.
Yeah,
I think. And same with the people we interview. They're like nervous, you know.
I know.
We've had people like screen us, you know. What do you really want out of this? And me and you, we were like, well, we'd like a conversation, you know, yeah. Maybe to learn, maybe to put your CEO on a soapbox for an hour, advertise a little bit for you for no cost. And I think the conversation world has gone minuscule, especially in the younger generations. It's more on the text message and the speed, right? It is quicker to text, but I don't know. There's something real about it. Just sitting down and turning your phone off, having an hour conversation with someone we never knew, and giving them something for nothing, you know, not really wanting anything in return. And it seems like most of the people we've interviewed are always trying to identify who they are. You know, who are you? Who am I? You know, am I CEO? Am I dad? But I think that's harder than people realize, man.
Like, absolutely.
I've heard a lot of people like blame the younger generation for not being able to identify themselves. And I'm like, shit, who the heck am I?
Yeah, I think my dad's still doing it, right? Yeah.
Have you tried to do that? You know, yeah. I think I heard McConaughey talking about it. He's like, identify who you're not. And I hate it. I always hated the term do what makes you happy and love. Because it's like, I don't know. Me and you have gone to some endeavors with some stuff that's near and dear to our heart, like some sports things. And it felt a little icky doing something that I love to be around. Like turning it into a business or on the business side of things was not as fun as I would imagine.
That's,
I think,
really
there's balance.
Dude. I wanted to go back to like one of the points that you made, because I think that was part of our early adoption or understanding of podcasting and the organizations that we would reach out to, and then they would do that screen. It was amazing how like they were trying to uncover the hidden intention, right? Or the hidden agenda. And you have to have a hidden agenda in order for you to dedicate your time to do this. Otherwise, why the heck are you doing it? And I just thought that was kind of a sad societal litmus test, right? That here's two guys, they have to be up to no good. That has to be why they're reaching out. They must want money. They must want something. And I think our just drive to really learn from the conversations and being able to have a CEO who we know has been there, done that. It was just really cool to ask them whatever questions that really came to our mind after we made them comfortable, right? After they knew that we weren't out to get them, right? Or to make them look bad. Our opportunity was really to make them look good while they felt good to also learn from their experiences that maybe they don't always share. I always found that it's kind of interesting to me is you think of a CEO, we ask the question to so many of them, like, did you see yourself as a leader and as a CEO? And I would say almost 9 out of 10 said no, but they saw themselves as a leader, right? They never saw themselves running an organization or running a company, but their actions, their intentions, that knowing of self you and I talk about is a clear differentiator between the types of leadership and some of the other like emotional intelligence factors that everybody popularizes, these new keywords. But I think that was one of the greatest lessons that I learned, is that anybody can do it. It's not just for the haves and the have-nots. There are potentials and there are opportunities if you're willing to do, fail, learn, grow, reflect, right? And I think these people were comfortable and grew in each and every opportunity to lead them to this final spot. But most people are telling us, right, this isn't my final step. So I also thought that was fantastic to really learn and say, well, we can do it, or others can do it. What I thought or what I perceived as how this typically goes was wrong. So collecting new information, gaining new perspective and insights. I thought that was another really cool takeaway that I realized very early on in our conversations, and probably was subconsciously why I was asking the question.
Yeah. And it is interesting how some people got there. Right. And I heard someone say the other day that the best leaders aren't leaders.
Yeah. Or don't call themselves a leader, right?
Yeah, and I think it's like the, you know, I think you can be a leader. You know, someone asked me the other day who I look up to or who's my role model. And it, to me, it's just an average person doing the right thing. And like, it's no, it used to be like Bo Jackson. It used to be someone pretty definite that I, but I think nowadays I'm getting older, closer to 40, man. It's really people just, you know, your average person doing your, you know, exceptional things, but just doing things right. And, you know, not talking like the Buddha, but being the Buddha was a quote I saw the other day. And I thought that was amazing. It's like, yeah, man, like someone said it was, it's doing the right thing and not telling everyone about it is a sign of spirituality. And I think everyone's so, I don't know, accustomed to trying to put themselves on a billboard or having to. And that's like so exhausting. Hey, I did this, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't know. I
go into that though, because I think that's kind of what we're really seeing as we enter more into this social era, right? We're leaving the knowledge age and going to more of the social, and that's how people are looking to, I guess, establish expertise or prove expertise. But I too, like Tyler, I remember when we first started talking, the conversation on LinkedIn or anywhere about leadership wasn't really about always doing the right thing, right? It wasn't about being the nice guy. The nice guys got walked over in the world of business. And it's been interesting to see, due to the pandemic, due to some of the other changes, how quickly we changed to leadership to actually identify some of those soft skills that enable a team's performance ultimately. Is it a carrot or do you rule by a stick? So I always thought that, right, because I always stuck true to my values. I was unwilling to jeopardize or my values and what I prioritized in order to get ahead. But I watched in my career, both at early and now mid stage career, that people do this every day. They're willing to do something that they wouldn't normally do in order to get ahead, in order to achieve that award or to get that recognition. And I probably saw that more clearly in the ADP world than I did anywhere else. But they had kind of created that environment themselves. That was the unwritten rules of that industry or that organization. So I thought now it's pretty cool to know that if you know who you are and you hold to your values and you state your intention and just don't say I'm intentionally doing something, that you really can make a difference and have an impact on somebody else.
Yeah, I think you know, to me, it's like, I don't know, less is more with words. And at the same time, I'm kind of jaded on it, right? Like, I mean, if you're doing whatever you're doing and you're throwing it out there to throw it out there to help you, good, man. Like, I don't think overthinking it's necessarily a great thing. Cause I don't even really post anymore, but I would always like try to overthink myself. And it's like, you know, I go back to one of the quotes, you know, don't take yourself too seriously because no one else is. And I'm like, shoot, just post it. It's great. Because no one cares, really. At the end of the day, people are going home to their family, taking care of their kids, hoping their kids get a good night's sleep. I don't give a crap when I post it on LinkedIn, man. Yeah. I hope they don't.
You know? But I think that's self-growth, right? Because I would say a lot of people live their life through the lens of somebody else's cell phone, right? And then they kind of don't believe that they're good enough, right? Because they see somebody else that's done it and they're like, man, I can't do it. Because I see that too. I mean, my wife, right? And I can catch myself, but it's all about that negative mindset, right? If you're negative and you're looking to blame, and you can quickly start to, like you said, like get jaded quickly. Like, why the heck is that person sharing their success? Not everybody's out here sharing their successes that they had. Like, I've just found that fascinating. Everybody's reflective. A lot of people on LinkedIn reflective on 2023 was pretty braggadocious of all the things that they were able to accomplish. And it's the same complaint that I have in business. When you put that out there, nobody understands the trials, the failures, the tribulations that you lessons that you had to learn in order to achieve that success. So it appears that that success came easier to you than it would for me. And I don't have that ability to do that. That's kind of what I see. And that's where I think people start to get jealous and jealousy creeps in. And now I won't support somebody, even if I believe in what they're saying or I like what I'm reading. I just can't possibly help progress them at all. And I think I got back to when you and I first met, all I was about is encouraging, enabling, and empowering the success of the individual that I was talking to. Talk less, ask more, and listen, and then connect the dots and see if you can actually help. I just don't know if that's everybody's MO today.
I hear you, man. And I think one thing for me, like, if I ever get caught up in that with anything, right? It could be whatever, man.
Yeah.
I ask myself, am I busy enough, like, doing stuff that really fills my, like, note factor? Like am I busy enough? Purpose factor, right? Like, usually when I get all twisted, it's usually me not being all honed in. And it's usually really weird. It creeps up on me. I'll, like, start, like, really following, like, baseball teams or something. Seriously, the most random things. And, like, a week will go by, and I'm like, am I doing this so I don't have to look at myself by not doing this? That's really filling the purpose bucket up, I think. But I think, you know, if we're all 100% purpose-driven, like, right now, are we really giving a crap about what people are posting?
No.
We're probably in the other bucket going, hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Hit it. Dude, that's what you're doing. Good job. And here's what the hell I'm doing. Yeah. But it's,
and that's where I think that reflection, right, that's where I think is that opportunity to kind of see what you do have. Because I think it's also a belief that you don't have something. And what you said is, like, that purpose bucket. I think early in my career, coming out of college, I thought that my purpose would come through my career, but then quickly realized that I needed to get involved with nonprofits because I wasn't getting that from my day job, right? And then now doing the podcast, right? These are intimate conversations that I don't get to have in my day job either, right? And now you're filling, it's kind of spokes out of the main wheel, right, of how you're feeling your socially. And that's where I'm big on almost defining your personal and professional goals, but really from a financial perspective, from a social perspective, from a personal growth perspective, what am I trying to learn? And really defining your for that for yourself, because that's how I think, looking backwards, you're going to more quickly identify that purpose, that passion, or doing something that you love. Everybody is trying to project forward and try to put together the dots. But I thought, I really think when we simplify it, our bodies, our minds, and are really timestamping those emotional highs and lows in whatever we're doing. If we're willing to reflect, then you're going to learn those lessons. And that's one of the favorite quotes that I got, is that failure was never final from one of our shows, right? Failure has this negative connotation because failure means I didn't win. And we have a winning society, right? Everything is about winning. It's being the top of your class, right? Magna cum laude and all that other stuff. But ultimately, who's grading? What is the scale? And that's what I started to say, is, like, it's not really as scientific as everybody thinks. And there's a lot more PR that goes into it than actually what is actually occurring or happening. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions, but until you go on a journey like this, I don't know how you learn that. And maybe it's listening to us two knuckleheads share, is like, this is what I thought, and I was completely wrong, and I was jaded, and this is how I was going in. And
yeah, and I think I don't trust anyone that can't share their failures. And it's not that I'm meaning to do that.
Yeah.
But it's like when someone comes out of the gate and they're like, you know what I freaking sucked at, man? I could order one of 2014. And I'm like, what? And they're like, and you're like, been there, done that. Tell me more. What was the next year like? Even worse. You know, because I didn't learn from that. And it's like, that's how I, the trust gates, I guess, whatever come down for me is when people are automatically telling me, because, you know, like I said earlier, like, if you come in knocking this thing out of the park, there's just something, I don't know, missing, I think. And it's not as fun. Like, you know, I think one of the coach I heard a while back that asked his team if they remember beating, you know, Florida A&M last year. And they're like, hell no. And they're like, do you remember beating Alabama last year? And they're like, oh, yeah, because it was difficult.
Yeah.
Right? There was some failures during that game. It wasn't 97-2.
Yeah.
You know,
that's fascinating. Go back.
It's fun doing things hard. Like, when stuff comes at you too easy, for me, you get to the finish line and it's pretty damn underwhelming. it's like you're looking around.
Yeah. You're the only one on the podium.
Yeah. Even when you're like doing it with even a team, it's like, yeah, that wasn't very fun. It's so weird.
Do you feel like, because I try to start to understand humans, right, and how we approach certain topics. Do you feel like you trust first and then wait to be proven that you shouldn't trust that individual? Or do you approach it where that person has to earn my trust in order for me to trust them?
I don't even think that.
Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah.
To be honest. I don't know. That's a little more analytical than my brain really works, I think. I don't know. Let me think about that one.
Reason I ask that is that I think I'm of the, like, I will trust you until you prove to me that I can't, right? I want to trust you. I want to believe in the good. I want to see the positive. And then kind of like that example that I shared about our podcast, when people are like, well, what's in it for you, right? Or why are you doing this? Like, there's got to be a hidden agenda. It's almost like we had to earn their trust. So then you're trying to earn it because they're not giving it willingly. And I just see society as a whole kind of from whatever, right? Maybe it's the World Wide Web. Maybe it's the journalism. Maybe it's the social media. Who the heck knows? But I think we have a very distrusting society right now. And maybe it's the breakdown in communication, like you said. Maybe it's the digital preference of communication. I saw the other day that millennials and Gen Z, like 88 or 89% of all of our communication is digital. And when you look at communication, just like the show, the movie Minions, I'm watching it with Angelo right now. You can watch that movie and know what's going on, and there is not one word spoken, right? And it's that proof that 7% of communication is actually the words used, right? It's body language, it's tonality, it's all these other cues that us as people are picking up on, but it are lost in digital like communication itself. So it's kind of interesting to see, but I've just seen more and more of it where people are like, well, prove it, prove that I can trust you, instead of let me give you my trust and we can start at the 50-yard line rather than the zero.
Yeah. And I think the competitive nature in me, man, thinking about it that way, like that's almost like reverse engineering it, right? Seeing it from another perspective that's like a competitive, like, let me earn it, right? Or my favorite question that back in my business development days is how can I earn that? Like, is there like anything I could do today or next week? You know, just something specific.
Yep.
But as far as like the trust, man, I think that's why I'm really liking a lot of more live things like podcasts and live speakers, is because this digital information is so, it's a lot of it's just made up stuff. Like I read the other day, dude, and maybe this what I read was even false. It was just writing. It was like 30 out of the 30 top whatever religious Christian sites, 19 of them were ran by Russians.
Oh my god!
Like to really get a rise in people. But as far as I think the more we communicate without face to face and without like stuff like this, the more misconceived your words will even get.
Yeah,
and then people start throwing narratives in, and you're like, I've seen it both ways. I'm either the left side or the right side or the middle side, whatever you want to say. And it's just, it's really weird.
Isn't it fascinating too? Like, what goes unsaid gets filled in, like to your point, right? So, like, and we see it in like when we're talking to leaders, and we see it in a culture, and they're like, yeah, we're transparent and we do all these things, but over communication never really got anybody in trouble. It's the under communication because we're so stressed, we're so strapped for time, we're doing a million things at the same time that we're almost not investing the time and energy necessary for effective communication. Because it's almost like, man, I would love to ask this person this question, but it's 12:54 and I got 5 minutes before I got to go to the next thing. I probably got to go to the I probably got to use the bathroom before I get on my next call. We're in like such a hurry to try to get ahead faster. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's counterproductive to what I think we're actually trying to achieve.
Yeah. And then people think they're just awesome because they're fast at things. But when you're the only one fast, you're like the only one ahead. It's a pretty lonely place, I think.
Like, yeah.
it's like you said, counterintuitive or whatever, man. I don't know. I don't know how to get it better, because like that's what the world, that's what the bottom line's based on sometimes, right? Like,
yeah,
how efficient can we be in this? But I don't know, slowing down, having conversations, having real purpose, you know, sleeping well at night, waking up with something good to look forward to. I think you're in a good, or I'm in a good spot when I'm in that spot.
Yeah.
I think I do slow down more. And I feel like, you know, doing little challenging things makes me less irritated with day-to-day things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm doing 100 push-ups, 100 squats, getting my core going every day, some stupid little email is probably not going to make me mad because I just pumped out 80 freaking push-ups and ran a damn mile.
Yeah.
A little stuff like that, I think, you know. And
like that abundance and scarcity mindset, right? That difference. If you're scarce and you feel like you don't have a lot, you're going to look maybe negatively on others that have more, perceived more than you.
Yeah, or find out how the hell to get there. You're like,
I know.
Not even a place.
That's my, that's always our next question, right? Well, how did you do it, right? It didn't happen overnight, right?
Yeah, how'd you get there, man? Like, it's is my go-to question with most of our leaders. Like, I don't care where you are now, like how, maybe why, you know, and do you like the loving part, right? You really love financial statements or financial resources or like accounting. Like you, but it's not,
it's
a
really
different
exciting.
Love I'm finding out.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, it's, you know, you get into something that you're pretty good at naturally.
Yeah.
I was always, this is one thing that I've learned by talking to our leaders. I think we've talked to is it's okay to like give up in a way if you're not really feeling it, if you're not good at it. I would always thought I would be a failure if I gave up in like the healthcare industry or the, you know, the IT industry, the managed services stuff. I would just, but I would like run myself into the ground by not giving up. And then I found something I'm pretty damn good at easily for me.
Yeah.
And you're already ahead because you're pretty naturally good at that. I don't know. And I've heard,
dude, like I said, I stayed at ADP even though I knew 3 months in that it wasn't for me, but I refused to fail because I was playing the tape of the company that I left and that manager telling me I wasn't going to be successful. So here I was living that guy's like stamp on me, and I wanted to outrun that. And then when I looked and I was miserable, I was like, and that's where I got into the, if you don't have a vision for yourself or a dream for yourself, you're going to live everybody else's. And that's a lonely place to be, because if it doesn't bring you the same satisfaction or gratification, or I don't have the same strength and it's actually a weakness, you think that you're failing because of you. But ultimately, it's not celebrating yourself enough to know who you are, what you're good at, and where do your strengths lie? Like the things, your God-given gifts, right? The things that you've developed over time. And that's kind of where I got out of alignment, right? And when you're living somebody else's dream, you'll take anybody else's advice on how to get to a dream that isn't even yours. And here I was feeling like halfway through my career, took a global pandemic for us to force us off the hamster wheel because nobody was buying anything. I had stopped the doing, slowed down, and finally gave myself the opportunity to reflect, to pick my head up, to even know where in the world was Kevin. I don't even know where in the world is Carmen San Diego. Same idea. Like I was like, I think I know. I think I have an idea. I think these are the things that I want, but I'd never really embraced it because I ultimately didn't know, and I wasn't accepting that of that final destination. And I've been blissfully surprised from the day that I met you to the day that we did our first podcast. Going back to that, dude, how much we've grown just as people. Like we added to our family, we became fathers, our circle changed, right? You were going through some moves and some career changes. I did a career change. We went through these life moments together, but we were all taking different lessons from them and then sharing openly and then asking CEOs, hey, I experienced this. Is this something you went through? Yeah, it is. So I thought that was a real, it's almost like happening as a life journey, that Crooked Miles story that we usually hear. It's life you think is such a straight line, but it's more zigzagged and cutting through back streets and the alleys and all that other stuff to really ultimately get to that destination that you somewhat envision for yourself. I think a lot of this stuff we didn't even envision for ourselves, that just is now happening.
Absolutely. You put that very good, man. And that crooked mile part's kind of funny to me that you mentioned, because when I think of, when I look back on it, that was the fun part.
I know, it really is, yeah.
Like the hoisting the trophy, whatever that trophy is kind of like sort of mundane, I think, sometimes. Or, you know, get to that goal. It's more, and you always hear people talking about loving the process. And I you know, don't like repeating people all day, but that's where it's at, man.
Yeah.
Like if you are loving like the day-to-day grind, and I'm not going to call it grind, but the actions.
Yeah.
And understanding, like, we're all doing that. Like, some people complain about it. Some people embrace it. Some people take it to another level, like we do. And I don't know, when you just stop overthinking and start doing, in my experience, is where the magic happens. It's doing the things you don't want to do necessarily is where you uncover that secret sauce, I think.
Yeah.
Because then you're doing what 1% of the world's doing only. So you're competing with less people if you're doing like the day to day, I think.
Yeah.
Taking care of yourself, being healthy, and it all comes to energy to me. My wife the other day was telling me that energy is intelligence. That really struck me. I was like, she was like, you know, hone in on it, you know, don't, or harness it more too, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't just blah it on. I can't help it sometimes. You know me, man.
I know, but we're like, sometimes you get labeled as that positive optimist, right? And you're like, man, is that a bad thing that I'm always so positive? But I think, I guess I get what your wife is saying, right? It is ultimately intelligent, because you know people don't like being around negative people, ultimately. It's energy draining, right? So for you to dust yourself off, for you to put away what is really potentially bothering you, even, right? And show face and show that positive face and be optimistic with that individual. You know, that could be that experience that that person needed within that moment of that specific day, even. That's how I've always looked at it. I always wanted to be positive. I wanted to, just like we learned from Dale Carnegie or any of them, it's all about how you make somebody feel. And ultimately, if I was a negative Nancy and sounded like the sky was falling, I don't think I would want to hang out with that individual. So it always made more sense to me to be more positive and optimistic and always look for the silver lining in things. If you want to look for the bad, you'll find it, right? And you'll focus on it, and then it will consume you. And then it kind of becomes that negative snowball that we've seen in cultures, right? It only takes, I always say, we work so hard to build these cultures, but it takes one bad hire of a jerk to destroy everything that you had worked so hard to build. So it's one person can bring down a lot of others, because I think humans' natural tendency, and we see it on LinkedIn, and I hated it during the pandemic. Every day was a rainy day, right? And I'm gonna try to rally the troops with a negative message. Well, that's like, what are you gonna do about it, right? What's the solve? And I think that you and I are always, when we're optimistic and we're looking for the positive or the silver lining, we're connecting the dots on how to make it better. We're not just talking about the problem and pontificating on the problem itself and exacerbating it. We're saying, yep, it's a problem, but there's also solutions if we're committed to working together to find those. And it's just amazing to me to watch social, I think social media is really like a large research study on actual people, right, in society, and just how many more people gravitate towards the negative message versus the positive message. I just find fascinating. And it, maybe it moves them more emotionally to actually act, to like, to comment, or whatever. It's just kind of an interesting concept that we wait for more negative news to be emotionally engaged.
I think that's been the case forever. You know, even when, like, when I was growing up, I heard about that concept. Like when I was in like elementary school, it was different. And I wanted to go back real quick on social media postings or whatever. I think there's some good, a lot of good in a way of accountability for yourself. And to me, if like I'm like going to throw it out to the public that I am doing this, I'm going to leave this office room that I'm in, and I'm probably going to carry that with me. Like, I don't hope so.
Yeah.
I just told millions of people I was gonna not eat carbs today or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
That does have some power, because I remember when we were posting a lot of videos on our current companies, after those, I was really in tune that day with my company or whatever our goal was.
Yeah.
That's what I just did.
Oh, yeah.
I just like got on a video and I told people about it from my mouth. Like, it was
Yeah.
not words. It was like, come on now, this is the Price is Right with me, man. Right? Like, I don't know. So I think there's some secret, you know, spice in putting it out there.
Yeah.
And following through, rather than just putting it in a little journal sometimes and losing the journal. I don't know.
But what you bring up is kind of it's a fast, because I've had a lot of conversations, right? A lot of people are like, hey, where did you start? Right? That's always what people ask. Where did you start? How did you get yourself comfortable? It must take you hours to write those posts. And that's honestly where I come back to people and say, if it takes you hours, you're losing the value in the post. What is your fear? Why aren't you doing it now? And it's human nature. It's the fear of rejection, I think. Like, if I share my idea or share my opinion or my perspective and no one agrees with it, then I'm crazy, right? And it kind of goes to that, I say I was bullied when I was in 7th and 8th grade and made me become a chameleon and I wouldn't really speak my mind. I would kind of go with the audience. Then you go into business and you really are told not to speak your mind, to just go with the flow. And those were some of the worst environments that were never innovating, because they had created this yes culture utopia, but it ultimately was counterproductive to what they said that their mission or vision actually was. And me as a doer and trying to understand why we do certain things in certain ways, and is there a better way to do it? It was confusing, because it was like, well, then you don't value my opinion. You don't value my insights. A robot could do my job eventually. Like, and maybe that's what you want, because they don't talk back and they always show up on time. So I think I had a great conversation yesterday with an intern and a potential intern. And I flat out asked him, why do you want this? And what are you looking to learn? And for the first time in a lot of the focus groups, and I will tell you, is that he really wanted to learn the culture of business, right? Business acumen, but like what to wear, when, what do you say, when to say it. And the best advice for me was, find a culture that allows you to be yourself while you're still growing at the same time. Yes, there's are some unwritten rules to business. However, those rules are being rewritten every single day today. The business world of today is not even close to where I was 10 years ago when I first came out. It has evolved so much that it's in areas it's unrecognizable. Like, you talk to business development people, Tyler, right? They're still pounding the phones, right? And having marginal success. They're having marginal success because there's a lot of people that cold called our cell phones, right? Those robocallers. And then we got conditioned to not answer calls or numbers that we didn't know. So something totally out of our control was now impacting our business. And we weren't evolving fast enough to keep up, in essence. So it's, I think the learning journey, you're doing, you're committed to finding the best way and being curious and picking other people's brains and valuing their insights. I've learned more from questions, open-ended questions, than anything else.
Absolutely, man. And surrounding yourself by those champions, or whatever they call them in the business world, is huge, right?
Yeah.
Like asking how that helped. Like, we always ask, how did you do that? Yeah. And what's
don't just give me the short answer that you did it. Yeah.
And what's crazy to think about is, like, I feel like we already know how.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, have you ever asked someone and you're like, oh, and you're like, I freaking
out. Yeah. But then don't you feel validated when they're like, I had to do this, 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 and this, and you're like, okay, yes, all right.
So it feels so good, yeah, when you're like, oh, you, that guy said that to you also.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. If that feels so good, sharing and being on that common level with everybody. I don't know, it just makes life a lot easier, I think. And eager to fail is okay.
Yeah.
If you welcome failure, I think, and welcome that way of learning, I think, and you really get fired up about it, like writing a book, for instance, like I was saying earlier, if you can just focus on writing the worst chapter of all time,
yeah,
go for it. What's it look like? Better than what I don't have on paper or on my OneNote yet. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And then you can go from there. Is the key for me. That's at least for me. It's starting. I hate thinking. I hate sitting in a room with seven people thinking. It wears me out. Yeah. We need that. Don't get me wrong. But like, I think there's a yin and a yang to a lot of this, especially with the leaders we talk to. Some of them, you know, really drill things down, and some of them are a little more laid back. But that little fine line is where it's at, I think.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like the people that say less, like the most badass actors, dude, like action films, they don't say much. They're like, listen, they'll like say like four words.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, dude, you're like, oh, dude, did you hear those five words? I hadn't talked in an hour, but I'm fired up. Meanwhile, Jack Schmo over there just won't shut up. I stopped listening to him like sentence two, you know? I've learned a lot about that, and listening over to our podcast, you know, when I start ranting, I'm like, what am I trying to prove here?
Yeah.
Or being aware of it even is nice, but you know, I don't know, a lot we've learned, and continue to learn.
Well, I think hopefully we'll see what other people think. I know I enjoyed my time today kind of discussing this, and this is kind of one of those 2024 goals that you and I set up for ourselves, is we want to do more of this, you know, share some of our experiences, share some of the things that we've learned both from the podcast, but just both from life itself, because we feel like a lot of other people are going through similar challenges, right? And we'll be bold enough. We'll talk about how we love each other. We'll talk about some of the things that other people make other people uncomfortable. But I think it's that vulnerability that other people can kind of learn from, because it's a question that they've always had, but we're too fearful to ask. So I'm really excited for this. I know where you and I are flirting with the book idea here in 2024, and as well as a Substack newsletter to kind of start talking about our two cents and how it relates to leadership and management and culture today. But this is a blast. It's been a wild ride, man. And I can't wait to continue to get on that horse and buggy with you and wherever we go. But I know we're headed west, maybe. I don't know the destination, but west, east, north, south. I'm just glad that I got somebody like you that's a thought partner, but more or less a friend and honestly family at this point, that we can have these honest conversations and admit what we don't know and share our frustration or share something that we're going through, and really valuing the feedback of one another. Because ultimately, I think it's getting closer to our goals of always getting better each day. And ultimately, how can we have an impact greater than just ourselves and what's in it for us?
Absolutely, man. This is fun. I'm excited for round two next week, man. We'll pick a subject. Maybe have a sirloin or something. Yeah. Maybe a dry age. Start it out. Smacking out our steaks or something, man. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, I'll grab some crab legs. You grab some Texas barbecue. We'll see what our garbage play. We'll see. But yeah, this is all about having fun ultimately, Tyler. And you were the first person to show me in a professional world that you could have fun professionally. I didn't believe it until I talked to you, because
I wasn't a professional.
Yeah, exactly. But the quicker I realized that, it's like, yeah, that was pretty silly that I thought I could separate those two things and somehow I would be okay at the end of it. You can appease both sides, but are you happy? Are you satisfied? And that's what I think a lot of people lose sight of is themselves. If we're constantly looking to please others, help others, and have a problem with saying no, pretty soon you got no time for yourself, no time to reflect, and no time to grow.
Yeah, man, I love it, man. Well, we'll be back next week. Who knows what we're talking about, but we'll be eating something.